Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? God Loves Foreigners. Based on Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, let me read that for you again. The word which Isaiah saw. Now it would come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established, and all the nations will stream to it. And many people will come in and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we might walk in his paths. I invite you to find your worship folder there and find the sermon outline upon it as we consider our theme, God Loves Foreigners. In 1991, when I received the divine call to become a professor at Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Edmondson, I was a foreigner. As an American citizen, I had never even been to Canada once, except for one day in 1986 when I came to the World's Fair in Vancouver. And while in Edmonton going through the extensive interview process, I was the only non-Canadian being even considered for this position. All the Canadians knew each other. It was a good old boys club. I was the only outsider, the only foreigner. One evening, I was taken to the famous West Edmonton Mall. Anybody ever been there? Over 800 stores under one roof, a full amusement park, an ice rink, a water park. Wow, it's amazing. And when I got to the amusement park, I noticed a lot of games and activities and rides and booths. But over the entrance to the amusement park was this sign, and the sign read, no loonies allowed. What? I said out loud. No loonies welcome here? How rude can that be? Now you have to understand that coming from the States, a loony refers to a person who has got mental illness or mental imbalance. We don't have dollar coins called loonies. And that's what that was referring to. But when I saw it, it said, no loonies around. And I thought, my goodness, some people aren't welcome here. One of my first and mistaken ideas about Canada was this. Some people just aren't welcome. Would I be welcome as a foreigner? A major theme of Holy Scripture is this. God loves foreigners, and foreigners are welcome to God's kingdom. In the Old Testament, the word that we translate as nations, as was read in Isaiah, the word for nations is the same for foreigner. The Hebrew word is goyim. Goyim means non-Jew, a Gentile. There are numerous passages in the Scripture that proclaims God loves foreigner goyims. God loves the nations. In today's reading from Isaiah 2, we read this. All the nations will come to the house of God that they might walk in his path. In Isaiah 66, this is what we read. The Lord declares the time is coming when I will gather all nations. They will see my glory. Now listen to this one. And I will also take some of them to be my priests. And speaking of Jesus as the root of Jesse, Isaiah 11 says, in the time coming, quote, the nations, that is Gentile foreigners, will come to the root of Jesse. In Isaiah 42, God says his Messiah and his chosen people will be, quote, a light to the nations, to the foreigners. We could go on and on with many Old Testament passages, but the clear theme is this. God loves foreigners, that is those people who have not yet become a part of his family. Now, the same is true in the New Testament. Let me ask you, what are we going to celebrate in close to a month's time? Christmas. And let me ask you, who were the first people who came to the house in which the parents had moved baby Jesus after his birth in a manger? Who came there to present him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? They were magi, wise men, astrologers from the east, likely Iran or Iraq. Gentile, non-Jewish, foreigner, goyim were the first to bring their gifts to Jesus, in partial fulfillment of Isaiah, who said the nations will come to the Messiah. And Jesus himself proclaims in Matthew chapter 8, this is what Jesus says: many will come from east and from west to recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Let me ask you another question. Just who was the hero in one of Jesus' most famous parables? The parable of someone who took care of a beaten and robbed Jewish man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was called the Good Samaritan, a non-Jewish Gentile foreigner. Now consider all these examples. When we now look at your sermon outline, examine the first big controversy in the new Christian church in the first century. This controversy was so big that if it were not solved, it would have destroyed the birth of the church at its onset. This account is found in Acts chapter 15. As time permits, go home and read Acts 15. Find out what this first controversy was. Find out the reason for the church, the first church voters meeting, if you will, in Acts 15. What was the controversy? Here was the question. Should Gentiles, foreigners, goyim, people of non-Jewish heritage, be allowed to become a part of this new thing called the Christian church? Now, please remember, when the church began, it began in Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish nation. Please remember that Jesus' original disciples were Jewish. Please remember that the first members of the church were people of Jewish heritage. Please remember the first Bible the New Testament church used was the Hebrew scripture of the Jewish people. And be reminded also that for centuries, the Jewish people of God had been persecuted, attacked, killed, exiled, cruelly governed by foreign goyim nations like the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, and by the time of our Lord Jesus, the Romans. And now, that early group of Jewish Christians were being asked to welcome these kind of people. Ooh! To welcome these Gentile foreigners, former enemies, into their church, to worship with them, to eat meals with them, to welcome them into their homes, to see their children marry the Gentile children. Wow! It shook the church. You see, the good news of Jesus was being proclaimed outside of Jerusalem, and Gentiles were coming to faith in Christ. Wonderful! But could those kind of people with foreign languages, with foreign customs, eating foreign food, with a negative history with the Jewish people, be welcomed as brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? Now, Acts chapter 15 bears witness that the Holy Spirit of God spoke powerfully through the leaders of that church to teach and convince them all that God loves all people, that God loves foreigners and welcomes them to be a part of his church. Now, let me make this point as well. If this decision had not been made, you and I, Gentiles, would not have been welcomed into the church. A major theme of the entire New Testament is this: the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is for all people. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. Why? Because all people are sinners. All of us are sinners and are in rebellion against God and against His holy law, and that leads us to destruction. Romans 3:23 says clearly, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What are wages? Alan, we had lunch together this last week. You were telling me about all your work for many years and what you did and the wages you earned and the hard work you put in. Wages are obviously the payment a person gets for the work they have done. Well, what have we and all people done according to Holy Scripture? We have sinned. And the wage we deserve, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, God's eternal judgment. But who took upon himself God's judgment of death? Whose life paid for our debt? Of course, our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Due to his death on the cross for our sin and his rising for our salvation, instead of death, we get eternal life. What a gift. And this gift, says Holy Scripture, God wants us to give away to all people. 2 Peter 2:9 says this: God does not wish for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And God wants all people, especially that person foreign to you, to become with you a member of God's family, the church. Now, friends, let's take a moment and expand the definition of foreigner today. It's so very important. Foreigner means a lot more than just a person of Chinese descent, a person of Canadian descent, a person of South American descent. What is a foreigner? Someone who is foreign to you can mean someone who's from a different race or speaks a different language. But someone foreign to you can also mean someone who has a different lifestyle. Someone who doesn't see things the way you see them. Someone maybe who has made some bad mistakes in their past life. Someone whose presence makes you feel uncomfortable. Someone whose personal life you don't like. Someone maybe you would not invite to your dinner table. They are just different than you, and this difference you don't enjoy. You just want everybody, we just want everybody to think and to act like we do. The same can be said of a church, of a congregation. How many times have we said or heard these words? Oh, for the good old days. Oh, when the church was just filled with white people. When the pews were filled with people who looked and thought alike, filled with people who were experienced Christians, when every household had one mother, one father, and two children under one roof, and they were all in worship every Sunday. You see, the longing for the old days and the disdain for what is now foreign to us can blind the church to opportunities to share God's love now with people who desperately need it. Imagine, again, if the early church in Jerusalem did not reach out to those who were different, to the Goyim, Gentiles. My friends, God is calling each Christian person today and this congregation without any reserve to reach out to the foreigner with the love of Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. Foreigners certainly include people also who live in our Richmond community, 60% of whom are not Caucasian. Foreigners today, though, can also include members of our own family who have strayed away from God's truth. Inactive members of our congregation whom you are missing, but whom, by the way, you have not made contact with to love them and welcome them back. Foreigners can be people who are hurting, people who have made themselves foreign by the bad choices they've made. Today is the first Sunday of the season of Advent, the season in the church year that prepares us for the holy celebration of Christmas. Christmas, when we celebrate the coming of Jesus, the Savior of all, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, black and white, Caucasian, Asian, churchgoer, non-churchgoer, Christian, atheist, people you like, people you don't like, people who agree with you, people who disagree with you, foreigners. And now we have to ask a very important question. Are you ready? Just who is the foreigner? My friends, we were once foreigners to God's kingdom. Remember all the Old Testament passages I read to you earlier? We Gentiles were not born into God's family, the covenant people, the people of Judaism, the people who made up the first church. We were invited in. Jewish believers in Jesus went out into the world. They shared the gospel with many of our ancestors in China, in Scotland, in England, in Germany, in South America, in Russia, in France. But our foreignness goes much deeper than that. Our original sin, inherited from Adam and Eve, and our actual sin and rebellion against God makes us by nature foreign to all things godly and holy. Martin Luther tells us in the Catechism that by nature, by sinful nature, we are blind and dead and an enemy of God. But remember the theme of today's sermon. Would you say it with me again? God loves foreigners, even foreigners like you and me, whose sin separates us from God, whose sin makes us sin-separated foreigners. But here's some wonderful news for all of us today. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. For while we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. And God demonstrates His own love toward us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' death for our sin and His rising for our salvation makes us right with Almighty God. We are no longer foreigners. We are made into His beloved children. And now the risen Jesus walks by our side. And He opens up our eyes and our hearts to see the foreigners in our lives, whatever has caused them to be foreign. And we see them and we love them with a humility that comes from knowing God's love for foreigners like us. In fact, it's been said this: All evangelism is, his one hungry beggar telling another beggar where the free bread is. And God's free bread, his love and forgiveness, is given away freely for all as we gather at the foot of the cross of Jesus. Revelation chapter 7, in the last book of the Bible, gives us a vision of heaven. And you know what vision it paints? A crowd of foreigners. Let me quote people from all walks of life. John says in Romans, "There I saw a great multitude, no one could count, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before Jesus the Lamb, saying with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne forever and ever. Amen.'" Amen indeed. God use us, each of us, and this congregation to roll out the welcome mat. That welcome mat that reads, "God loves foreigners. God loves you and me." In Jesus' name, amen.